1640.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
District Attorney Fannie Willis will not take the stand, ladies and gentlemen. The stories you are about to hear are true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
That man and I only broke bread.
There you go. You remember Dragnet? Jack Webb? I remember the original Dragnet. They had Jack Webb and Ben Alexander running around. And then they had that guy that ended up being on MASH. Joe Morgan, or whatever his... Frank Morgan? Joe Morgan? Anyway, that's the theme from Dragnet. Good morning.
The movie was funny.
What?
There was a movie, too, of
yes.
Dragnet. There was kind of a funny thing. Dan Aykroyd and...
Oh, yes.
Tom Hanks.
You got a good memory. Anyway, good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Friday, February 16th, and we got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Pedro Horta. He is a former CIA officer. He's the author of a book called The Broken Whistle, A Deep State Run Amok. It's an account of lax government accountability and whistleblower protection. So that sounds kind of scary. We'll be talking with him in just a couple of minutes. And what's going on with Russia and our defense system in space right now? Are we getting a little worried about this? I think there's a reason for concern. We're going to take a look at it. And did you hear this? Iran declares it now owns Antarctica. Yes. We are going to be telling you all about it. So if you've got any property in Antarctica, you might want to consider moving it out. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one for you. The top 10 countries with the highest taxes in 2024. Let's find out if the United States is one of them. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I keep telling you, it's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's a great haircut at a great price. Call first for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. And ArborLife Tree Service. Whether you need tree enhancement, tree growth, tree removal, stump grinding, ArborLife is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Why not call them today for a free estimate? 727-330-1999. So where do we start at? I guess because you thought up that Dragnet theme, we got to talk about Fannie Willis. She will not testify. That came this morning. That was a surprise. People thought she was going to continue on the stand. It was a real soap opera yesterday.
It was an incredible day of television yesterday. I gotta tell you that.
Wasn't it? It was amazing. You knew right away, just from her demeanor, when she walked up to take the stand. When she walked up to take the stand yesterday over in Georgia, that she was ready for bear. But in a plot twist, the state says they will not have any further questions.
You cut their losses on her.
Yeah, for Fulton County DA Fannie Willis. This means that she will not be testifying today. She, as you know, is prosecuting Donald Trump on charges of his attempting to so-called overturn the 2020 election. She, yesterday, she just was, I mean, she Well, I would say that she thought she was so high and mighty that she didn't even have to have the right demeanor when she sat on the stand.
Well, Mr. Wade, her prosecutor boyfriend, was on the stand and doing very, very poorly. I mean, he just, you know, everything was cash. He had no receipts and looking like this is really bad. And then all of a sudden they come back from break and there's Fanny pacing next to the prosecution's table or the defendant's table. Prosecutor back and forth and back and forth. And now all of a sudden she's going to testify when they told her not to testify. Plops her big butt in the chair like she owned it and then just went off the rails.
So her own team was suggesting she not show up on the stand?
But the judge even said, were you watching the trial? And finally she said, yes, I was in my office. And how much did you see? I don't know, Your Honor, I was pacing. I was pacing. And evidently he did so poorly that she felt she had to get on the stand.
Well, it didn't work out too well. Even the liberal networks were saying that it was a bomb for her.
And the judge warned her twice.
By the way, how many liters of water did that guy drink on the stand before her? Did you see that?
Sweat bullets.
They kept feeding extra bottles to him as he was talking.
Yeah.
It boggles the mind that these two, first of all, if I was a Georgia resident or a Fulton County resident, I'd be outraged with how inept these people are representing me.
And how unprofessional she was on the stand.
Just terrible. Really.
An embarrassment.
Boy. She did herself and her case no good. I guess what's going to happen, in my humble opinion, is they are going to take her off this thing. Whether or not they continue the prosecution of Trump, that's another matter. But I think she's gone after this.
Yeah, I doubt that.
Yeah. You don't think that they're going to continue the prosecution?
No.
Really? Okay.
No, I think this whole thing is done.
You think it might be done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about this? This is a sad story. Outrageous story, actually. That guy in prison in Russia, Alexei Navalny, 47 years old, and he died, had a heart attack or something. Their Russian prison agency announced this morning that Vladimir Putin critic and opposition leader Alexei Navalny, dead at the age of 47, the so-called Federal Prison Service said Navalny felt unwell after a walk today and then lost consciousness. An ambulance tried to resuscitate him, but he died anyway.
Evidently, where they had the prison where he was at had the worst conditions and the worst weather.
Yeah. Yeah. So he had the nerve to criticize Putin. You just don't do that.
Yeah.
There's no free speech there. None. But it's just outrageous. It's just outrageous what happened to this guy. The whole world should be up in arms with this guy, Putin. Anyway, in the meantime, we've got what's going on up in space here. The White House and National Security Commission Communications Advisor John Kirby said yesterday a national security threat brought forward by the House Intelligence Committee is related to an anti-satellite capability that Russia is developing, though Kirby dodged many questions regarding the info in particular. The intelligence, according to Fox News, relates to Russian nuclear capabilities in space, which could threaten satellites, including potentially knocking out U.S. military communications and reconnaissance. So that's what we're worried about right now. That's kind of scary.
I'm not buying it.
You don't think so?
I'm not buying it at all. So I don't like the timing of it.
You think that
another diversion?
Is the wag the dog?
Another diversion. Let's get this off the whole Biden thing. Let's put it on something else. And we can blame it on Putin. I don't buy it.
It may be. I would rather that you're right.
Because
I don't want it to be true, but
stuff like that does not happen overnight. I mean, look at what Reagan did with the Star Wars. How many years it took to put that together. You're telling me overnight, they possibly have nukes in space. really.
The only thing, Ed, is that it seems like the House Intelligence Committee is buying it.
Maybe so somebody sold it good. Somebody did a good sell job.
Could
I don't know.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
I just don't trust them.
I don't trust them.
I don't blame you. Hey, we're going to, in fact, talk about trust. We're going to be talking. We are going to take our break, is what I'm trying to say. And when we come back, Pedro Horta is going to join us. He's a former CIA officer and an author of a book that takes an accounting of lax government accountability and whistleblower protections.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. It's Friday. Hooray. Hey, we are delighted to welcome Pedro Horta to our program. He is a former CIA officer. He's got a new book, The Broken Whistle, A Deep State Run Amok. Now, he has 18 years of experience as a CIA vet, and he served in, among other places, Iran, Afghanistan, and the Middle East. Pedro, welcome to Freedom Works.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for having me on your show this morning.
Absolutely our pleasure. This book sounds very intriguing. Now, it's coming out on President's Day, February the 19th, The Broken Whistle, A Deep State Run Amok. Tell us, what is this book all about, Pedro?
There are many themes in the book, but the central theme is broken whistle, broken intelligence community whistleblower processes. And I walk the reader through how the Ukraine whistleblower was a fluke. He was not a real intelligence community whistleblower, and they weaponized the process to go after Trump, saying and using that examples to essentially lie that intelligence community whistleblowers have protection. Well, my case goes back into the mid-2000s. 2015, 2017 was the height of it, even into 2018, where I repeatedly blew the whistle through the appropriate channels inside the CIA, inside the Director of National Intelligence, and to even Congress. And in my case, even though I used the same procedures the so-called Ukraine whistleblower used, nothing was done about my disclosures except a turn against me, and I had to deal with just a berating of bureaucratic bullying until either I would quit or until they find an excuse to kick me out and fire me.
Wow.
Which is what they did.
Now, let me ask you, when you decided that you needed to come forward and expose something, what in particular were you blowing the whistle on, if we might ask?
The primary focus is essentially Afghanistan 2014-2015. By the time I got to Afghanistan 2015, I had almost 6 years of war zone experiences in Iraq, Afghanistan, and another tour, another location, other places in the Middle East. I went out as a deputy chief of base, working for a chief of base who was a very nice lady, and I praised her as a nice lady, but she was way out of her element, creating a hostile work environment for some subordinate of ours, and at the same time endangering our lives and turning the base into a social club.
Okay, now this is in Afghanistan?
This is in Afghanistan, 2014-2015.
Okay. And so this would have been during the Obama administration?
This was during the Obama administration.
Okay.
Under Director Brennan.
Okay, CIA Director Brennan, right. Now, of course, Brennan has his own dirty laundry, right? With all of the things that involved Donald Trump.
With my case, a lot of things started coming out after I had blown the whistle and after I had taken reprisals against me. And it turns out Brennan was really anti-whistleblower, and he targeted other whistleblowers like John Kiriakou, Jeffrey Sterling, and I didn't know, I didn't have a chance at all to report wrongdoing, and for at a minimum, for me to salvage my career, which, forget it,
so they
were hell-bent on destroying my career.
So you come forward to complain about, as I understand it, I'm just trying to make sure I understand it, you come forward to complain about the conditions that people like yourself were going through in Afghanistan. And because of that, ultimately, they kind of blackballed you? Because they didn't want this to be, because they did not want it to be publicized? I don't think you were trying to publicize it. You were working within the channels of the CIA at the time. Okay, go ahead.
There's a lot more to it in the background. That's why it took a whole book to put it into context. You got to keep in mind that we had that suicide bomber in Coast in December of 2009, where, again, they had sent another lady who was unqualified to lead a base, and her faulty decision-making caused her own death and the death of six other officers. Coast again, as far as just how badly run and mismanaged that base was under the supervisors I was working with. But they kept her there. They tailored all operations to cater to her social needs and to her. The mission suffered. The military were not getting briefings. The military were not getting the information they needed to get. And it was all done out of the CIA, and I landed at the Office of Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, which leads to another episode of whistleblowing. And that's how convoluted it kind of is, and it takes a whole book to explain it.
Wow. So, you write this book. You're no longer connected with the CIA, is that correct?
That is correct. They basically fired me in a kangaroo procedure, a year shy of retirement.
How many years? 18?
I had 18 and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the date timing of government service with my military service. And by the time they officially notified me that I was terminated, the reality is I had 19 years of service.
Yeah. So, again, we're talking with Pedro Horta. He is a former CIA officer, and he has authored the book, The Broken Whistle, A Deep State Run Amok. It will be released on February the 19th. Just a few days from now, President's Day. And he goes into the abuses and the bureaucracy of the CIA. You know, we all know that something is wrong with our justice system. I think most of us, if we've been following the news, are very concerned, not only with the CIA, but with the FBI and with the Attorney General and the whole Justice Department. It seems like it's become, would you call it because of politics? Is there an easy explanation? Or, Pedro, is this just a series of different that come together? You know what I mean?
Well, the second instance of whistleblowing when I was at the Inspector General for the Intelligence Community, this is where Congress. And here is where I found the real problem. Our problem is not necessarily that we have a deep state run amok, but the reality is that we have congressional oversight functions that are completely failing us. What I mean by that is we have mechanisms in place, the House Permanent Select Committee of Intelligence, the Senate Select Committee of Intelligence, instituted after the Church Committee hearings to adjudicate, you know, all the abuses of the CIA, the FBI in the 50s and the 60s. It is the failure of those oversight committees. For example, most recently they came out with this story that, you know, there's a big, huge national security threat by the Russians. Like I heard on the radio show, the timing of it is very suspect. These committees are actually doing the bidding of the intelligence community. They're protecting these intelligence communities. They're not doing anything to hold them accountable.
Both on the both on the Republican and Democratic side of the committee?
On both sides committees. The Republicans were part of the Russia hoax in the Committee of Intelligence in 2017 to 2018. They did absolutely nothing to truly uncover what had happened with that Russia hoax and to rein in the abuses of the FISA authority.
And when you, and just for our listeners, when you're talking about the Russian hoax, of course, you're talking about the trying to attach Donald Trump to the Russians when he was running. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we have no effective congressional oversight of the executive branch. And you can go back a few decades. Well, for that matter, the most recent ones, you can go back to the IRS scandal, Tea Party scandal, 2010, 2012, Fast and Furious, Benghazi, 2012, and so forth. The reality is Congress engages in grand political theater and showmanship for a means to raise funds, make themselves look pretty, get elected again. But ultimately, we have had a executive branch bureaucrats, bureaucracy, whether civil appointees or career civil servants, who have run amok. They've basically become a law unto themselves. They decide to weaponize the law against political opponents or those who pose a threat to them, like General Flynn. But, you know, it's become basically a totalitarian-type tactic that undermines our constitutional republic and enforces upon the people their will instead of the will of the people.
Are there currently in the CIA other whistleblowers that are still working there that are trying to present much of what you are saying to the committee? I mean, is there any hope, besides people like you, of course, writing your book so that you can shed light on this? Is there any hope that we can get anywhere and we can stop this political abuse?
Well, last week that a woman whistleblower who had alleged sexual harassment at the CIA was terminated, fired. Her bravery in disclosing those sexual harassments led to an additional 24 other ladies stepping forward. The fact that she was fired, or they found a way to get rid of her, tells me that these problems still persist.
Yes.
And that no whistleblower has any chance to come forward in the intelligence to report wrongdoing to Congress.
And so there's nobody in Congress that they can go to that is upstanding enough to sound the alarm on this. Is that what you're thinking? I mean, is it a hopeless?
That is correct. Look really? At the FBI whistleblowers. They call themselves the Suspendables. Garrett O'Boyle, Kyle Serafin, Steve Friend. What did Congress do for them? Zip, zero, nada. All they did was use them for political brownie points to get attention, knowing something about the abuse of the government power. Some of these guys are still basically in a suspension state without pay, but unable to go get a job because the FBI. Well, they would be terminated, or voluntarily resign. And if you're a whistleblower and you choose to quit, at that moment in time, you're basically saying, I'm done. If you took reprisals against me, I basically say you did nothing against me, so there's no liability for them.
Well, it's a very depressing scenario, Pedro, but I'm delighted that you have written this book, because maybe it's one of the first steps that we can take towards letting everybody know what's going on. Again, the book is The Broken Whistle, A Deep State Run Amok. It's going to be coming out on February the 19th. That's President's Day. And Pedro, if people want to get your book, what is the best thing they can do?
The easiest way is brokenwhistlebook.com. Brokenwhistlebook.com. It's a book website, and it has links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million, Apple Books, available hardback, paperback, and ebook.
Brokenwhistlebook.com. That's all one word, correct?
Yes.
Perfect. Pedro, thank you so very much for coming on. I think you're a pretty upstanding guy. You got a lot of courage. Good luck with your book.
Thank you, Paul. God bless you.
And the same, Pedro.
Amen.
All right. Pedro Horta. There you go. Very interesting. And scary. All right, we're going to take our break. Hey, when we come back, did you know that Iran now owns Antarctica? Wow. We're going to talk about it when we come back, among other things, so stay tuned.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth. She's got a pad on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love potion number 9.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. It's Friday. We were talking about what's going on in the CIA, House Oversight Committee, and all kinds of things. And speaking of the Oversight Committee, their chairman, James Comer, announced yesterday he is subpoenaing several credit card companies for the family records of Joe Biden. Morning and suggested that other major credit card companies could be next. He claims the subpoenas were issued after the Biden family allegedly used credit cards for personal expenses that were paid for directly or by the China Energy Company, CEFC. Wow. So he said, through the interviews and depositions we've conducted thus far, we've learned several credit cards that were used by various members of the Biden family, we believe, for personal expenses, and believe these credit cards were being paid by CEFC or through their affiliates. So this is something, he says, obviously we need to investigate. Boy, that's, what is going on? Can you imagine if it was Donald Trump and his family that was getting this kind? It would be all over the every single media outlet. It absolutely would.
And he would be found guilty before they even filed the first paperwork.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we've got both of our buddies, both Andrew and Angelo Ceresi on the line. Andrew the Master Barber. Angelo is our eye in the northern sky. Guys, welcome to Freedom Works this morning. You want to talk about this hard situation, Angelo, or would you rather talk about Fat Fanny Willis, or what do you want to talk about?
We could talk about both.
Okay. I see Fannie Willis is not going to be testifying this morning. I don't know if they started up Fox News has been running kind of wall-to-wall coverage of this.
Well, they're waiting on the witness for today who's at the doctor's office, so they're waiting for whoever he is to be finished.
Okay.
And I believe they're going to pull her dad in.
Whose dad?
Fat Fanny's.
No kidding.
I believe. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I have to check.
That's interesting. That's interesting. So go ahead, Angelo. Let's talk about, what do you think about this trial with Fannie Willis? And it seems like we forget that the whole purpose of all of this is to determine whether or not we've got legitimate prosecutors going after Trump in Georgia.
Well, absolutely. And another question they then ask her is, when you were campaigning for district attorney, did you or did you not say you were going to go after Donald Trump? You know, you're going to search him, you're going to prosecute him and everything like that. Mm-hmm. How come they didn't ask that question?
I thought that was the one in New York.
Yeah, I did too. Are you sure you're talking about the Fannie Willis?
Is that the one in New York?
Yeah, I think the one in New York guaranteed
well,
that.
Well, Letitia James did that.
Letitia James, right.
Yeah, that's her.
But, yeah, I thought Fannie Willis had done it too.
Well, you know, she might have said that she... I wouldn't be surprised if she did say it among friends. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, what did you think about her taking the stand and the way... did you watch any of that, Angela?
Yes, I did. It was a disrespectful to the court system. She... The judge kind of let her go on without, you know, telling, hey, cool it down, lady, you know? And I think she has made a mockery of the courts by acting the way she did. And to any other district attorneys in the United States. It's a bad reflection on them.
Yeah, even the liberal outlets. Yeah,
I thought the judge was very lenient.
Very lenient.
I wouldn't have had the patience.
Don't you yell at me. Meanwhile, she's yelling back.
You're right.
She's talking back to the judge. And the judge warned her twice about, you know, they're asking her a yes gesture. And she goes off into this whole story. I thought she was having a Biden moment where she's talking about her dead brother and all this stuff and crying out loud. Just all over the place after all. I'm yelling at the screen. It's a yes or no question. Right. Answer the question.
Andrew, what do you think? Did you watch any of it?
Oh, I've been watching it on and off and watching all the bright spots of it, you know, on the news. And I just... good soap opera.
It seems I went through two bowls of popcorn during watching that thing.
You know, not for nothing. Like my brother says, well, they're making a joke out of the judicial system, right? They've been making a joke out of the judicial system since they've been going after Trump. It's nothing but a big joke. This is where I tried to tell you and Ed the other day that the nice guys end up last.
But see, now the public is seeing it. That's the good part. We're seeing what's really going on.
The nice guys end up last, yeah. And listen to the gentleman you just talked to. Here was a nice guy trying to do the right thing, and look what happened to him.
Yeah.
Oops, see you later. That's what I told you the other day. They should have kept the other guy in Congress because they needed that other seat. I don't care. They're all crooks. They all lie.
He fit right in with it. What other politician doesn't lie?
You know, I've never seen our government, and maybe this has been going on for a long time, we just didn't know it, but I've never seen such corruption emanate into all branches, particularly in the executive department and the Justice Department.
It's terrible.
It's downright scary and depressing. It's both.
And it's the Republicans, too.
You can't trust anybody anymore. You can't trust the FBI. You can't trust the Attorney General. You can't trust the IRS. The IRS will come after you.
Well, look what happened in Russia.
It's all turning political. And Russia, yeah.
Well, we're getting just like it. Matter of fact, I think we're worse.
In many ways, you may be right about that.
We're pretty close. We're pretty close.
All you have to do is turn on some of the history channels where they showed the Nazi courts, how they were doing their kangaroo courts. It's our court system doing the same thing here in our country.
Yeah.
The same thing. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the American public is tolerating it.
You know what, guys? I don't think voting is going to take care of it.
Do you think, let me ask you this, Andrew. Do you think that if Trump gets reelected, he will try to scour out the Justice Department? I know he'll get rid of all of the heads. I'm not sure about Christopher Wray, although I think he should go too. But do you think he will scour out the different agencies, the Justice Department, attempt?
I think he'll make an attempt to do it, but I think that the deep state will make another attempt against him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't want
to have to say it, okay?
Well, you know what? Well, I know what you're thinking.
Exactly.
But you know, if anybody would want to make an attempt to start to bring, I mean, Trump has a personal reason for wanting to scour all of this out, what they've done to him. And people that are his compatriots.
He could have done that the minute he got in the office the first time, and he didn't do it.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, he was a novice then. He didn't. You know, he probably thought that it was true blue America. You know, he didn't know.
I don't think he.
How many times did he say he was going to put Hillary in jail?
He never did.
He never did.
No, that was just political talk. There is a lot of talk.
That's true. I agree with Angelo on that one.
You know, the thing is that the other thing came out the other day about the Russian collusion, this and that, but no one is being held accountable for all that. And they talk about insurrection. That was an insurrection where they tried to usurp and get rid of a duly elected president. And nobody brings it up. Naturally, the media doesn't say anything about it. Nothing. You know?
Yes, I agree. Now, I've got news for you. Did you know that Iran and their Navy commander announced in a televised broadcast that they now own Antarctica and will build a military operation?
Yeah, good luck with that.
In the South Pole.
as long as you can do all that within the next 8 months.
First of all, I would like to see. I don't think I would want to be. Let's just put it this way. I don't think I'd want to be on a Navy ship that was constructed and owned by Iran to begin with. That's number one. Much less go to Antarctica. But he. This is,
now, how do they say they own it? Here's what they say.
This is the Rear Admiral, good old Shahram Irani, and he says this: "We have property rights in the South Pole. We have planned to raise our flag there and carry out military and scientific work." Oh, well, in that case, be my guest.
Yeah, you can put a flag there, but it ain't going to be sticking out of the ground.
I don't know. I think a polar bear might come and grab that flag, first of all, and the person planting the flag. That's what I think.
What I'm curious is about
by the Brooklyn Bridge.
Do they have studded shoes for the camels for the snow? Do they put chains on their feet? What do they do?
Could you imagine a camel and a polar bear in the same place at the same time? I don't think so.
I think the camel's humps would freeze there.
I think so too. So I don't know where this is going to go. We're all laughing at it, but this is amazing. I guess this is a way of thumbing their nose at Biden also. It says here, this is a direct challenge to the Biden Global Treaty. Let's see. The State Department was asked if the recent American unfreezing of $6 billion in Iranian funds held in Qatar could be used by Iran to set up a base in Antarctica. That's now that is the perfect squelch. Use American money. Mm. Iran using American money to set up operations in Antarctica. That sounds like a bad dream.
Kirby said that was going to go for food and medicine.
No. Well, yeah, for polar bears and Eskimos it is.
Eskimo pies.
Holy Toledo.
Well, guys, it's a mess. I got news for you. We got Fannie. We got everything. Trump is going to rock the house, I believe, unless they try to mess around again. And as far as I'm concerned, the FBI is corrupt. The CIA is corrupt. Our executive branch is corrupt. Our judicial branch is corrupt. Well, what do we got to do here?
I know. That's what I'm worried about. I mean, even if we get Donald Trump in, are we going to do any good?
Well, you know, look at New York, for example. In 2021 election cycle, on the ballot, in the November ballot, they put a thing on there saying that should mail-in ballots be legal here in New York State? Can New York State legalize mail-in ballots for elections? The people in the state, we the people, voted no. And what does the Queen do here in New York? She gets her legislature, you know, the Assembly and the Senate, gets them to pass a bill, and she signs it that mail-in ballots are legal now, starting in this election.
Really? So in the presidential election in the entire state of New York?
Yes.
It's going to be mail-in ballots?
Yes.
Oh, that's bad news.
There you go.
That's terrible.
You see, Paul,
we should be going in the opposite direction with mail-in ballots. We have got to get back to same day precinct voting. I am telling you, it's the biggest issue to get us back, get the ship righted.
But if they're going to do it, why can't we do it too?
Well, we should be doing it.
That's
why
I'm saying.
You guys the other day, they got rid of Santos for nothing. They gave up another seat.
Well, you say we? Anyway, in other words, you mean red states?
You're talking about red states.
Okay, we're doing it in Florida.
Okay,
already.
Right. Yes,
we've been doing it here, and I agree it's been working in Florida, and I think it's been working fairly. But I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Well,
but
you know,
can't bring a knife to a gunfight.
You know, here's the thing.
One question for you. I have one question for you. At one time, you told me that you believed that the election in 2020 was legit. Now, after everything you have seen going on, do you still believe it wasn't stolen?
Here's what I think. I don't think there were enough votes to overturn who won the presidency. I think more people did vote for Biden. I know that there's election trouble in every state. There is. But the question is whether there was more than enough to legitimately overturn the election. That's all I would say. And, of course, I don't know for sure.
Well, you know, the thing is, when Trump says it was stolen, I think not analyzing Trump, but when he's saying it was stolen, they changed the election laws, where the judges said that mail-in ballots could be done, this could be done, instead of having the state legislatures do the election laws, which they're supposed to do according to the Constitution. The Democrats went to all these judges, and 9 times out of 10, your judges are all Democrats anyway. And
I don't think a judge can, I'm sorry about this, but I don't think a judge can change the voting laws.
So they took it to the courts and said because of the pandemic, using all this.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Things, so they changed to use mail-in ballots.
Yes, but now that we've gotten past the pandemic, aren't they supposed to revert back to precinct voting?
They're not going to. They're not going to revert back to that. State legislatures,
this is a mess,
according to the Constitution, set up election laws, and they went to the courts every time they can't get something passed. Just like over here in New York. They didn't get that pass where they got mail-in ballots. They lost at the polls. So they go and do their own thing. The Republican Party files a lawsuit, and the judge says, no, what the New York State legislature did is legal. They can do that.
I'm hoping that the people of the different states will rise up and say, you know what? Because, number one, you know what's going to happen in New York. It's going to take 2 weeks for us to get the returns in.
Right. I mean,
look at Arizona. You remember how long it took to get the Arizona?
Was it 2 weeks?
Remember with Maricopa County, Arizona, remember how long it took to get the votes in?
Yep. But your state of Florida gets it done that night.
We have been doing, yes. And I don't think there's any real hanky-panky going on. Although, you know, in Florida, of course, that's a lot of people. Yes, there is some. I don't like it. I just want us to go back to the precinct voting.
What they should do, look, you get June 19th, a federal holiday now, right? You got this, a federal holiday, that, a federal holiday. You can make Election Day a national holiday.
Or put it on a Saturday.
Federal holiday.
Or Saturday.
I don't think you even need to do that, guys. Look, we've been doing elections for how many generations and it's worked fine,
but the cheating,
with people going to the precincts.
But the cheating isn't as easy as it was long ago.
Cheating is easier.
Well, I'm sorry.
No.
Cheating is easier.
That's
now.
Why I want to go back.
That's what I said.
That's why I want to go back to the precinct. That's why I'm saying it's not as easy to cheat when you have to go there and put the ballot inside the box and you're there.
Right.
And you can watch your ballot being put in the box, and there are electioneers watching you.
Right.
Okay.
They should go back to that.
That's what I'm saying.
They should go back. But you know the thing is, the 1960 election, Richard Nixon versus John Kennedy. Mayor Daley had the political machine in Chicago.
Yes, he did.
And he said, well, we're going to win this election. They managed to come up with, I think, 100,000 votes or 10,000 votes or whatever. And that put Kennedy...
He resurrected a lot of dead people to vote in Chicago.
Richard Nixon, his advisors were saying, challenge the election, challenge this and that. Well, just like Al Gore did, Hillary Clinton, you know. Richard Nixon said, I do not want to put this country through something
right.
like that.
Guys, we could go. I hate to cut you short. This is such an interesting. We're going to have to do a longer version of this sometime because it becomes very interesting. But I got to run. I appreciate your thoughts. I really do. I want you to have a great weekend. We'll be talking again next week with you guys. Thanks so much.
You got it. Be good.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. There they go. All right. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, how about this? The top 10 countries with the highest tax rates in 2024.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330. Arbor Life Tree Service, they go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person. It's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-73. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time is our show, Freedom Works. But if you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are on podcast. Go and click on the podcast button. Ed's got all the shows for you, from the most recent show at the top all the way down. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, before we get to our top 10, just quickly, is there any new news, maybe any fallout from the Super Bowl thing? Or
no real fallout than the shooting that went
on. Yeah, that was horrible. That's horrible, you know, horrible.
Lightning are doing their thing on and off. And
did the Lightning were playing last night. I think they were playing the Avalanche, but I don't know if they won or lost.
I was watching all the follow-up on Fanny.
Yeah.
I was pretty much glued to that.
Yeah, I didn't see the end of the
game. I didn't want to miss anything.
No, I don't blame you. Okay. Let's get to our top 10. It's a good one. This is from Nomad Capitalist. Nomad, N-O-M-A-D, Capitalist. The top 10 countries with the highest tax rates, okay, in this year, 2024. Ed, you'll never get what's number one, but I'm going to give you that opportunity when we get there. So keep your ears perked, okay? So here we go, number 10. Slovenia. Though one of the smallest countries in Europe, Slovenia imposes a whopping 50% tax on its citizens. They've only got about 2.1 million citizens there. Wow. Number nine, Israel. Yeah.
Wow.
Israel has a population of 9 million people and a top marginal tax rate of 50%. Number eight, Belgium. Yeah. Currently, if you earn more than 46,000 plus and that's in Belgian pounds or whatever, you will be taxed at a rate of 50%. And if you think that's crazy, it's an improvement because until recently they were taxing at 54%. Number seven, the island of Aruba. Yeah, one of the most beautiful Caribbean islands. Popular island vacation destination. Government levies a personal income tax rate of 52%. Number six, Sweden. Sweden is the 11th richest country in the world in terms of their GDP per capita. They have an advanced welfare state there, and that's why they need to charge you as much as 52.9% of your annual income. Number five, Austria. Yeah, one of the few German-speaking countries in the world. Also one of the most developed countries. Austria demands that its people pay for that privilege. Their top tax, marginal tax rate is 55%. Number four, Denmark has a developed economy. It ranks 9th in the world in terms of GDP per capita. The Danish government imposed a total tax rate equivalent to 56%.
Wow.
Wow. Number three, Japan. Japan, third largest national economy in the world after the U.S. and China. Japan is the only Asian country among the high tax countries with a top marginal tax rate of almost 56%. Boy, oh boy, I'm getting out of Tokyo.
Yeah.
If I ever go there. Number two, Finland. Yeah, Finland has the highest tax rate in Europe. Second highest in the world. They've only got 5.5 million people. Those poor people pay 56.95% in tax. All right, Ed, you're never going to get it. I know you would. I'll bet you $1 million you wouldn't get it.
All right, I'll go off the chart. I'll go, I don't know, Iceland or something. I don't know.
Just as good a guess as mine. Just as good. It's the Ivory Coast.
The Ivory
in
Coast.
Africa. Yes. Oh, God. First of all, you don't want to live there. That's number one, okay? The long troubled African country Ivory Coast has the highest income tax rate in the world. Its citizens are giving away a whopping 60% of their income. It has beach resorts, rainforests, and a French colonial legacy.
Now, why is it called the Ivory Coast?
Maybe a lot of
called the Ivory?
Yeah, maybe a lot.
Please not. Please I think they don't get it from all the elephants.
Well, do you think that they might ship ivory from there?
Didn't somebody write? And can't somebody write a letter? You know, so save
what,
the
lower
elephants.
My income tax? You
no,
mean?
No, save the elephants. It's not called the Ivory Coast. I'm offended.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's probably been called the Ivory Coast for a long time.
I like
time.
Elephants.
Yeah, me
you know.
Too. All right, thank you so very much for listening to us. We appreciate it. We will be back on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Drive safely, and remember, freedom works.